Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you've pressed play today because in the next 10 minutes, we're going to completely nail one of the most fundamental and most frequently examined topics in your OCR GCSE physics course, states of matter. Now, I know what you might be thinking. States of matter? I've been learning about solids, liquids, and gases since year 7. And you're right, you have. But here's the thing. At GCSE, OCR doesn't just want you to know the names. They want you to explain, using precise scientific language, exactly what particles are doing in each state, why matter behaves the way it does, and how energy drives changes between states. The difference between a student who scores 2 marks and one who scores 6 marks on a question about this topic often comes down to just a handful of key phrases, and by the end of this podcast, you'll know exactly what those phrases are. So let's get into it. Grab a pen. You might want to jot a few things down. Let's start with the particle model. The particle model, sometimes called kinetic theory, is the big idea underpinning everything in this topic. The model tells us that all matter is made up of tiny particles, and that the behavior of those particles determines the properties of the substance. Temperature is a measure of the average kinetic energy of those particles. The higher the temperature, the faster the particles move on average. Now, let's go through each state in turn, because the exam will ask you to compare them, and you need to be precise. Solids. In a solid, particles are arranged in a regular, ordered lattice. Think of a neat grid like oranges stacked in a supermarket. The particles are very close together, touching one another, and they are held in fixed positions by strong intermolecular forces. Here's the crucial phrase that earns marks. Particles in a solid vibrate about fixed positions. They do not stay completely still, they vibrate. If you write particles in a solid do not move, you will lose the mark. They vibrate about fixed positions. Say it with me. Vibrate about fixed positions. Because the particles are so tightly packed, solids have a fixed shape and a fixed volume, and they have high density. Liquids. In a liquid, the particles are still close together. In fact, they are still touching, or very nearly so. This is really important for your diagrams. When you draw liquid particles, they must be touching or almost touching, with at most very small gaps. If you draw liquid particles with big spaces between them, you will lose the mark, because that would suggest liquids are compressible, and they're not. Liquids are essentially incompressible, just like solids. The difference from a solid is that in a liquid, the particles are arranged randomly and irregularly, and they can move past one another. This is why liquids flow and take the shape of their container while keeping a fixed volume. The intermolecular forces in a liquid are weaker than in a solid, strong enough to keep particles close, but not strong enough to hold them in fixed positions. Gases. Now, gases are very different. In a gas, the particles are widely spaced, much, much further apart than in a solid or liquid. The intermolecular forces between gas particles are negligible, essentially zero. Gas particles move rapidly in random directions, constantly colliding with each other and with the walls of their container. The key phrase here is, gas particles move randomly at high speeds in all directions. That phrase, randomly, high speeds, all directions, is what earns you the mark. Because the particles are so far apart, gases have very low density compared to solids and liquids, and they fill any container they're placed in. Now let's talk about changes of state. This is where the exam questions get really interesting and where the 6-mark questions live. When you heat a substance, you're supplying energy to its particles. As energy is supplied, the kinetic energy of the particles increases and the temperature rises. But here's what many students get wrong. When a substance reaches its melting point or boiling point, the temperature stops rising, even though you're still supplying energy. Why? Because that energy is no longer increasing kinetic energy. Instead, it's being used to break the intermolecular bonds between particles. This increases the potential energy of the particles, not their kinetic energy. Since temperature is a measure of average kinetic energy, the temperature stays constant during a change of state. This is why you get those flat plateaus on a heating curve graph. Let me give you the structure for a 6-mark answer on changes of state, because OCR examiners reward a chronological, logical structure. Step 1. Energy is supplied to the solid, increasing the kinetic energy of the particles, so temperature rises. Step 2. The melting point is reached. Further energy supplied breaks the intermolecular bonds. This increases potential energy, not kinetic energy, so temperature remains constant. Step 3. Once all bonds are broken, the substance is now a liquid. Continued heating increases kinetic energy again, and temperature rises. Step 4. The boiling point is reached. energy now breaks the remaining intermolecular forces completely, allowing particles to escape as a gas. Again, temperature remains constant during this change. One more crucial point. Mass is conserved during changes of state. When ice melts into water or water boils into steam, the number of particles stays exactly the same. No particles are created or destroyed. This means the mass before and after is identical. This is a one-mark question that catches out students who think that disappearing steam means mass has been lost. It hasn't. Now, let's talk about density, because this topic always includes a calculation question. Density is defined as mass per unit volume. The formula is density equals mass divided by volume. In symbols, rho equals m divided by v. Rho, that's the Greek letter that looks like a P, is the symbol for density. The units are kilograms per cubic meter, or grams per cubic centimeter. Here's the unit conversion that trips up so many students. To convert from grams per cubic centimeter to kilograms per cubic meter, you multiply by 1,000. So water, which has a density of 1 gram per cubic centimeter, has a density of 1,000 kilograms per cubic meter. In the exam, always check your units before substituting into the formula. Mixing units is one of the most common reasons candidates lose marks on density calculations. Right, let's talk exam technique. I want to share the most common mistakes I see so you can avoid them. Mistake number one, saying that particles expand when heated. This is wrong. Individual particles do not expand. What happens is that the spacing between particles increases. The particles themselves stay the same size. If you write the particles get bigger, you will not receive the mark. Mistake number two, drawing liquid particles with large gaps. In your particle diagrams, liquid particles must be touching or very nearly touching. If your liquid looks like a gas, you've lost the mark. Mistake number three, confusing evaporation and boiling. Evaporation happens at the surface of a liquid, at any temperature. It's why puddles dry up on a cool day. Boiling happens throughout the entire liquid, only at the specific boiling point temperature. Mistake number four, thinking that melting or boiling destroys particles or reduces mass. It doesn't. Mass is always conserved. For command words, state means give a brief factual answer. Describe means say what happens using correct terminology. Explain means say how or why, and use the word because to link cause and effect. Calculate means show all you're working, write the formula first, substitute values, and include units. Okay, let's test what you've learned. I'll ask the question, give you 3 seconds to think, then give the answer. Ready? Question one. What is the motion of particles in a solid? They vibrate about fixed positions. Question two. What happens to temperature during a change of state? It remains constant because energy is increasing potential energy, not kinetic energy. Question three. What is the formula for density? Density equals mass divided by volume. Question four. How do you convert grams per cubic centimeter to kilograms per cubic meter? Multiply by 1,000. Question five. What is conserved during a change of state? Mass, because the number of particles stays the same. Question six. What is the difference between evaporation and boiling? Evaporation occurs at the surface at any temperature. Boiling occurs throughout the liquid at a specific temperature. How did you do? If you got all six, brilliant, you're in great shape. Let's wrap up with the 5 things you absolutely must remember for your exam. One, particles in a solid vibrate about fixed positions. Never say they don't move. Two, liquid particles are close together and touching. No large gaps in your diagrams. Three, gas particles move randomly at high speeds in all directions. Four, during a change of state, temperature is constant because energy increases potential energy, not kinetic energy. Five, mass is always conserved during changes of state. The number of particles never changes. And a bonus, density equals mass divided by volume, and to convert grams per cubic centimeter to kilograms per cubic meter, multiply by 1,000. You've got this. States of matter is one of those topics where precise language makes all the difference, and now you know exactly what that language is. Go back over your notes, try some past paper questions, and remember, every mark counts. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.